There may have been somebody in here this morning that needed to hear amazing grace. So nothing happens by accident. But what happens sometimes, things don't go the way we want them to go, or we'll say or do something sometimes that people misunderstand, and we get criticized. How many of you have ever been criticized before? Now, come on now, if you didn't raise your hand, all right, we've all been criticized. How many of you have ever had your motives questioned in a wrong way? And when that happens, we get irritated. When that happens, we get upset. When that happens, we begin to wonder and say, hey, that's not fair. And so sometimes we wonder, how in the world can I deal when I'm criticized? How in the world can I deal with when my motives are questioned? How do I deal with that? Well, this morning, I want to share with you from the Word of God how to answer criticism. How to deal with things when they take place and your motives are questioned. And we're going to deal with it here from the book of Acts, chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. It fits right in with what's been going on with Peter. Last week we talked about when Peter came back and he told the church, he told the body of Jewish Christians how the Gentiles were getting saved and how the Gentiles were growing in the Lord. The Jews, they confronted him about it. They said, Peter, are you out of your mind? Why are you telling the Gentiles about Jesus? It's impossible. The Gentiles can't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Jesus was a Jew, and Jesus came to us. So Peter, how dare you tell the Gentiles about being saved? And we talked about that last week. They were telling Peter essentially, Peter, you're not being a good steward with what God has given. And so we talked a little bit about that last week. But now let's look at how Peter answered that criticism. Now I've got to imagine when Peter came that morning and he was telling the Jewish believers all about how the Gentiles had gotten saved and gotten right with God, I imagine he was hyped up. I can imagine he was coming in saying, man, I can't wait to tell you what God did. Man, the Gentiles have gotten saved. This whole family got right with God. They all got baptized. You know what? Hey, this is fantastic and great news. And when he came in, they said, Peter, how dare you? You talk about a downer. You talk about having your bubble burst. Now, teachers, I know tomorrow's your first day of school officially with the kids. And you've been preparing, and you're ready to go, and you kids are coming in, you're excited. Now, can you imagine little Susie coming in tomorrow, and you spent all this time decorating your room, and she comes in and says, that's ugly. Or one of the parents writes you a note and say, hey, I don't like the way your first day went. And you were way up here, now suddenly you are way down here. How do we deal with criticism? How do we deal with it when people question our motives? What do we do about it? Well, Peter gives us a great example of how to deal with these things. Look what he says here in chapter 11. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, in other words, those who were Jewish Christians, they contended with him. And this is what they said. You went into men who were uncircumcised and you ate with them. How dare you, Peter? How dare with you? Here's what Peter did. Peter yelled and screamed and broke out an AR-15 and blew them all away. That's not what he did. They didn't have AR-15s back then. Peter yelled at them and made all kinds of accusations against them. No. What did Peter do? Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. And this is what he said. You know what he did? He told them exactly what took place. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to attack them back, because I'm sure that Peter was hurt. I'm sure that Peter was mad. I'm sure that Peter was upset because he had done a great thing and they're attacking him. What's your first reaction when somebody attacks you? What's your first? How many of you get mad when you're attacked?
Yeah.
How many of you feel like attacking right back when you're attacked? Have you ever agreed with somebody when they criticized you? Have you ever said, well, you know what, you're right. I am a low-down dirtbag. I appreciate you making those statements about, you know what, I agree with you. I'm as horrible as you're talking to me about. No.
Our natural tendency is to fire right back. Our natural tendency says, you know what, hey, let me talk about you now. Let me give you 15 reasons why you shouldn't breathe anymore. That's our tendencies. But what did Peter do? He didn't attack back. He simply began to share with them what happened. Let me help you out with something here. Look at Proverbs chapter 15 real quick. Let me help you out with that. How to react when somebody criticizes you. Proverbs chapter 15. The Word of God tells us how to react. Now, this is not natural. This is not our human nature. This is not what we usually do. But the Word of God tells us how to react when we're attacked. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. Now, husbands, remember this when your wife tries to tell you something. I'm with you. Proverbs 15, verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. When somebody criticizes you and you get back in their face, do you think that's solving the problem? Well, no, Brother Brian, but it makes me feel better. Have you ever noticed when somebody talks about you or somebody gets in your face or somebody tells you something's wrong and you give it right back to them? What do? They attack right back. And then you attack right back. And then pretty soon you're doing this. And if it's husband and wife, pretty soon you're bringing up things that happened 200 years ago. Oh, come on, don't look at me like you don't do that. Well, your mama, she cooks her green beans too greasy. Well, your dad, tell you what, he smells like a wood stove. And then you start fighting with it. You start bringing in family members. And you start bringing in friends. And you start bringing, all kinds of things are attacking. And then what happens? Then you're hurt. Have you ever tried to care for a hurt animal? They're hurting and you go to reach and pick them up, a cute little kitten that's happened, and what are they going to do? Because they're hurt. Look at me, friends. Hurt people hurt people. And when your hurt is caused by someone you love and someone you care about and they've criticized you and they've said some things that are just nasty, our tendency is to fight right back. But the proverb says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Now, what does that mean, Brother Brian? It means I just kind of cow down and take the criticism? Well, you're right, I'm a horrible person. No. A soft answer means you don't attack right back. Now, you don't want to hear this, and I don't like to hear this, but the truth of this is, sometimes when we're criticized, it has a grain of truth at times. And that's what hurts us. That's what really bothers us, because we know inside that what somebody's saying, there's a little bit in there that's true. And our pride swells up and we say, no, bless God, that's not right. When inside we know that there's a little bit. Now, this is not giving you free reign to criticize everything I've done this morning. Just teasing. But if you react back to how you've been treated, it's going to cause a big problem. Because it says this, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words, they stir up anger. So does that mean, Brother Brian, that people have the right to criticize me for everything I do? Does that mean, Brother Brian, that I open up the door for criticism all the time? No. Let's turn it over on the other side just for a second. If all you do is criticize, and all you do is look for wrong things, and all you do is look for ways to try to correct people, close your mouth.
Amen.
Amen.
You've not been put on this earth to correct other people. A soft word goes a lot further than criticism goes. Let me use the teacher example again. Little Susie comes in and says, "You know what? That's a horrible color, and this room is ugly. And you spent all summer getting your room ready. And you're ready to say, Susie, come here, let me fit you with something for now." A soft answer is this: "Well, Susie, maybe perhaps you would like to help me decorate. Maybe you and your mama might like to come in and help me clean the room and decorate the room." That's a whole lot better than screaming at Miss Susie and making things wrong. Amen? Your words have meaning. Now, what if Peter, when that group of believers had gotten on Peter, what if Peter had said, fine, you know what? I'm going to leave. You guys don't like Gentiles. Guess what? I'm getting out of here. You guys are on your own. I'm going back to the Gentiles. What would have happened? Exactly right. That would have happened. Thank you, Al. I appreciate that, sweetie. That's exactly what would have happened. It would have been clash. It had been fighting. There have been people leaving. There have been people that hated each other. And the church would have never gotten along. Instead, Peter chose to just simply say what happened. Stay here in Proverbs. Go to verse number 4 now. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A wholesome tongue. Now, you say, Brother Brian, well, so-and-so deserves criticism. So-and-so deserves to be told how bad they are. Okay. Before you start speaking sharply, why don't you start thinking about your own situation? Jesus said it this way: before you go to get a speck out of somebody's eye, think about the log that's inside of your eye. There's times that we need to share truth with people. There's times that we need to tell people, hey, this is wrong, but there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. Saying, hey, dummy, is not the right way to start a conversation. Here's the right way to start a conversation. Let me talk to you about something for just a minute because I love you and I want to help you. Whole lot different than being called dummy. Anybody like being called dummy in here? How many of you would rather have somebody come put their arm around you and lovingly try to help you? How many of you are still awake? All right, look at verse number 18 of Proverbs 15. He says this: a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Wow. Now, I'm confessing before you, I do not like my wife to tell me when I have done wrong. Guys, how many of you enjoy your wife telling you when you've done something wrong? How many of you hate it beyond belief? And it makes you angry, and it makes you mad. Sometimes we need to simply say, yes, ma'am. Don't answer it back in a mean way. Talk about it. Open up the lines of communication. I'm still working on that. Just an honest confession. Okay? All right. Go back now to Acts chapter 11. Talk about it. So how did Peter react to it? Number one, he didn't yell and scream and threaten. He just simply said what was going on. All right? He simply described what happened. And you go down through here and you see he rehearses everything that took place. He talks about when he was praying, and he was talking about when they came to see him and everything else. He simply told what was going on. But let me show you another thing that did. Number two, he makes it very plain how God was involved. He makes it very plain how God was involved. Look at verse number 5. He says that the great sheet was laid down from heaven. Verse number 7, he says, I heard a voice saying unto me. Look at verse number 8. He says, not so, Lord. Verse number 11, he says, what God hath cleansed, call not common. Verse number 12, he says, and the Spirit bade me to go. Verse number 15, he says, and I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Verse number 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord. And at the end of verse number 16, the Holy Ghost. Verse number 17, as God gave them like gift. And it says, the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? See, he begins to rehearse what God did. He begins to say, here's what God did. You want to diffuse a situation? You want to get to the problem whether you're not criticized unjustly? You start talking about what God did. You start glorifying God. You start saying how great God is. It diffuses the situation like that. But if you attack back, it just makes it blow up. You might as well go ahead and throw some gasoline on that fire. Start praising God. Start bringing God honor and glory. It diffuses the situation. So husbands, here it is. Let me give you some help. She's criticizing you for something. You didn't take out the garbage right. You didn't close the gate or whatever. You snored last night, or you did something in one of her dreams that you have no idea about and you're in trouble for it. How do you answer that? Sweetheart, when God made you, he broke the mold. Sweetheart, I'm so glad God gave you to me. Sweetheart, I tell you what, that dinner that we ate last night, it was passable. Sweetheart, I love the sound of your voice, especially when I don't hear it. That's not going to get it. But what you do is you simply turn it around and start saying how good God really... Now, I'm being facetious in some things. But you see, if you fight right back, it just blows up on you. All right? Look at number two. Number two, Peter makes it plain that it's foolish to fight God, what God wants to do. It's foolish to fight God. When you are criticized, and guess what? If you do anything for God, you're going to get criticized. You're going to have people question your motives. You're going to have people say, you don't know what you're doing. That's what happened to Peter. Look at verse number 17. Look how Peter answers him. He says, forasmuch then as God gave them the like gift, as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? What was I? Who am I to fight against what God is doing? You want to criticize me for telling somebody about Jesus? You want to criticize me for loving people? If God's doing it, you can't fight against it. Because if you fight against it, guess what? You're going to fail. In this next year, there's somebody in here that's going to take a chance to tell somebody about Jesus. You're going to stick your neck out there and you're going to try to witness to somebody about Jesus, and you're going to get attacked. You don't attack right back. You simply say this, I'm just obeying and doing what God wants me to do. If you're thinking it's wrong, guess what? You're fighting God. You're not fighting me. If you're doing what you're doing for your glory, if you're doing what you're doing so that people praise you, if I'm up here preaching God's word so that people say, oh, you're such an awesome speaker. Oh, you're such a wonderful pastor, Brother Brian. I tell you what, I couldn't do anything without you. And if I'm doing it for that reason, guess what? I need to be doing what I do for his glory. And if you don't like what I'm doing, and I'm doing it for his glory, you're not fighting me, you're fighting God. Make sure that what you're doing is for His glory and not yours. So that when you are attacked, you just simply say, all right, God, it's you, not me. That's what Peter did. He says, you're not fighting me, you're fighting God. Look at the third thing Peter did. Verse number 18. Look what happened. When they heard these things, they held their peace. Oh, that's a good, I love that. When they heard these things, a good King James way of saying it, they shut their mouths. They had nothing to say. They couldn't fight against it. Peter didn't attack. Peter just said, what happened? Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you were criticized this past week? Only a few of you. It ain't over yet today. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you criticized something this week? Or somebody? And you criticized them. They should have let me know about that. Would you have said that to the Lord? Would you have spoken that way to Him? You say, now, Brother Brian, how dare you? Who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. Because guess what? When I began to read this and I began to study this, the Holy Spirit was saying, guess you've been doing. Speaking to your wife that way. Speaking to your children that way. Yes, Lord. But I'm the pastor. I can get away with it. No. No. It grieves my heart when I go against what His Word says. It says, when they heard these things, they held their peace, and they glorified God. And this is what they said. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So, Brother Brian, how do I handle it when I'm criticized? How do I handle it when people question my motives? Number one, you don't give it back to them. Number two, you begin to say what God has done. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So what will that cause the critic to do? Close their mouth. Now you're not looking at somebody who has this all figured out yet. I try. I fail. And I try again. And I fail. But I'm hoping my failing is getting less and less. Don't fire back. Let God do the fighting for you. Amen? Amen. That's what Peter did. And I'm so glad Peter did, because it could have split the church wide open. Matter of fact, we're going to see later on how it almost did. But instead, God used Peter to bring the church closer together than ever been before. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Head bowed and eyes closed this morning. How to deal with criticism? It's hard. It is really hard. But you know what else? We should not be critical of other people. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to ask you some honest questions this morning. Number one, how many of you, heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you have a tendency to be critical at times? Raise your hand. How many of you have a tendency to be critical at times? All right. Number two, how many of you have been criticized when it really hurts? Raise your hand. May I encourage you this morning? If you have a tendency to criticize, remember how it hurts when you are criticized. Maybe this morning you've been hurt from criticism even this past week. You've been attacked unjustly, and it's like a burr sitting under your saddle right now. It's like a little thing has eaten up you right now, and you can't even concentrate. Why don't you give that to the Lord and say, oh God, help me. Help me to turn this instead of a hurt into a praise. If you have a tendency to criticize, why don't you ask God and say, God, help me to stop being so critical. Help me to stop saying and doing things that hurt people. God, I want to bring you glory. I don't want to be critical anymore. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts, you know the situations. God, you know what's going on in our lives today. I'm asking you right now that we would stop being so critical of everything. We'd stop looking for ways to correct. Instead, we would look for ways to bring you praise. Now, God, there's times that we need to talk to people, and there's times, Father, that we need to direct people. But God, help us do it in loving manner, in a way that brings you glory. Father, there's some of us in here this morning have been criticized. We all have been. But there may be some hurt that we're hanging on to. And it's really, really painful. I pray this morning we give that to you. And that we would simply just bring you praise somehow through it. We love you and we thank you. Help us to deal with these things your way. In Christ's name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Brother, as you begin to sing, I invite you to come. I invite you to come, whatever the need is this morning.
Search me, O God.
Can you ask God to stop using your tongue?
And know my heart today.
Stop using it as a weapon.
Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray.
Husband, stop hurting your wives, please.
See.
Ladies, praise your husbands.
Cleanse me from every sin and set me free.
This week, look for ways. Look for ways to lift people up. Look for ways. Look for ways to bring glory to God by what you say and do. Oh, it's going to be hard. You're going to find all kinds of things that are wrong. Instead, look for ways that you can glorify God by helping somebody along with your words. Love people. There's too much hate out there. Love people. Tell them the truth in love. Shirley keeps playing. If you are a teacher, an assistant, a substitute, whatever, or you are a child getting ready to start school, I'd like to invite you to come up here. Like you come on up if you would. You're a teacher, you're an assistant teacher, you're a substitute, you're a child getting ready to go to school, I'd like to invite you to come up here if you would, please. Right, you come up, you can sit down, stand right there, everybody stand right here, stand right here. Tomorrow is a gigantic day for these precious folks up here. Some of them are teachers, some of them are students, and tomorrow's an exciting day, but it's a scary day also. Come on up here, guys. It's a scary day. And the way the world is going and society is going, it seems like every year it gets harder and harder to do what God wants them to do. And the pressures on our teenagers and our children in school is stronger and stronger. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to lift up these precious students and these precious teachers. I'd like to lift them up to the Lord. I'd like to ask God to surround them, not with a hedge. I want God to surround them with a wall of protection. I want the teachers to have wisdom from Him how to treat and to love their students and each other. I want our students to realize that God loves them and that God is with them at all times. So that's what I'd like them to do. I'd like for us to pray. And I'd like to ask you, if you would like to come and lay hands, ladies, you can lay hands on the girls, guys, you can lay your hands on the guys, and pray for them personally right now. So I'd like to invite you to come. If you'd like to come, do it. Come pray for the teachers, come pray for the students. Come on, step on out. Come on down and just lay your hands on them, and we're going to have a word of prayer for them all in just a second. I invite you to come. Grandparents, come lay your hands on these kids. Parents, come lay your hands on your children in a godly way. Amen? Come pray for them. Come pray for these teachers. Come pray for these students. They desperately need this. Come lay hands on them. Encourage anybody else. Come on down. Come on down. Let's pray for all these folks in here this morning. Come on ahead, Ms. Birchfield. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's pray for them right now. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. God, we're excited for this new school year. Lord, we're excited for these teachers, and some of them have some new jobs, some of them have new positions, some of them have new things that they're going to be experiencing, and I'm asking you, God, you give them wisdom from on high. Your word tells us that if anybody lacks wisdom, to ask of you. And so I'm asking for wisdom for these teachers, for patience for them, for strength for them, for fresh ideas from on high on their lives this morning. I know, God, that the year's going to go great and there's going to be some tough times, but I'm asking you, God, right now that you protect them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. That, God, this would be the greatest year they've ever had as an educator. I'm asking for our children, not only the children standing here, but the children in this whole county. Lord, for the things that are going to take place are going to be tough this year. But I'm asking for a wall of protection around every single one of them. I'm asking you, God, that revivals would break out in schools. What a wonderful thing that would be. I'm asking you, God, that you would touch these lives. And I'm asking you, God, that their bullying and all those things that have been taking place would be completely eliminated. And I'm asking you, Father, that these students here would be the light of Jesus in these classrooms and in these schools. Lord, please, I'm trusting you and having faith that you're going to do these things for your honor and glory. Thank you for these teachers, for the touch you've put upon their life. You've called them to serve you this way. Oh God, please use them. Protect our students. And may Jesus Christ be praised. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Turn into the park. We've got the place right there on the right by the bridge. Everybody's invited to come and participate in this. And there'll be no church service this evening because we want to spend all day out there long celebrating. So if you can't come right after church, that's fine. Come this afternoon. Come and just enjoy. Just have a good time. We'll have cornhole out there, all kinds of good stuff taking place, okay? Ladies' meeting, don't forget that one. It's tomorrow night. Manna distribution is this Thursday. If anybody can help us Wednesday about 10 o'clock, what happens is Manna brings the food to us, about 3 or 4 or 5 pallets of food, and then it's me and Tanner and Miss Ann having to unload all that food.
And so if you're able to come on Wednesday around 10 or o'clock or 11 o'clock, if you want to call before you come, make sure the food's here. If you want to come help, I would greatly appreciate that so much. Awana, you see that, start the 26th. Homecoming and Revival, this is starting September the 9th. What we're going to do is we'll have no evening service on that Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 6:30, and we're going to feed you before the services. We've got some ladies that are going to and some gentlemen that are going to prepare the food. You come and eat, and then we can have our church services and all those things going on. And if you want to help with that food and preparing, please see Miss Sandy. And then down at the very bottom, the Christmas drama. All right, Christmas drama. Now, how many of you agree there's always drama around Christmas anyway, okay? There's always drama, but this is a good type of drama, okay? We want to put on a drama for the community around Christmas, and if you'd like to participate in that, see my wife or myself or Tanner, and we'll help you and give you all those answers. And one other thing, and then we'll be dismissed. I want to praise God for how you have ministered to my family, and Melissa's here this morning. So I'm praising God for that. Amen. All right. And I thank God that she's able to stand upright again. So we're still dealing with the issues and all the kind of good stuff. But thank you, church, for your prayers and your support of all these things. Danny, have I forgotten anything at all? No. Okay. You weren't even paying attention anyway, right? Amen. Amen. There you go. All right. No church this evening. We're going to gather at the creek and have a good time down there. Shall we gather at the river? Amen. Amen. Yes, Miss Birchfield. There'll not be one? Okay. Okay, good. You can go see your grandson. Okay. All right. Thank you, Miss Birchfield. Going to see your grandson. That's fantastic. Okay. All right. Well, let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Dale, would you please dismiss us in prayer this morning? Come and join us at the creek. Shall we gather at the creek? Amen. All right. Brother Dale.
Okay. Lord, we thank you for this day. Yeah.